Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Hey, all right. Hey, I think we're having fun tonight. 9-1 the final score. Royals blitz the White Sox and earn at worst a split of this four-game series. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's the text line number. Oh, I'd love to hear from you, Royals fans. Again, the number 913-586-7610. I'd venture to say 85% of the time that I open up this microphone, I know what kind of show it's going to be. Now, there's surprises along the way. But I would say 85% of the time when that open wraps up, I know what you're going to say, you know what I'm going to say, we understand the type of tenor that the show is going to have. Tonight falls in the 15%. I'm not sure where you are going to take this one. I can't wait to find out. If you were one of the more than 12,000 in attendance tonight to watch this offensive blitzkrieg of Pedro Grifols' Southsiders, I'd love to hear about your experience, the ballpark. I'm sure some of you still making your maiden voyage to the K here in 2023. Again, the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. I have a question for you. Now, of course, you can touch on whatever transpired in this 9-1 Royals victory. But I would like if you would ultimately answer this question along with sharing your experience and your observations from this, the 11th win of the season. And the question is, it's fairly simple, how far can this offense lead them? That's what I want to know from you. How far can these bats carry this team? 913-586-7610. Again, 913-586-7610. You know me, I go back to spring training, and my belief was that if the Royals were going to compete in 2023, it was going to be on the backs of their bats. Vinny and Bobby, Salvi and MJ needed to be the stars, and you needed the occasional surprise from the supporting cast. Maybe one night it's Nick Prado, the next night it's Michael Massey, the night after that it's Edward Olivares, the night after that it's Michael Garcia, it's Drew Waters. You understand the point. You see where I'm going. Now the offense obviously struggled throughout the month of April. And that's the genesis of the question, because despite this 9-1 win, despite the fact that the Royals have won 3 of 4, they still find themselves with a disappointing record of 11-27. How far can these bats lead them? Can they lead them back to 500? Can they lead them to 75 victories? Now, don't get me wrong. You gotta pitch. I'm not a fool. You're not going to win a lot without adequate pitching. I'm not saying great pitching, because I don't know if anyone's holding their breath for consistently great pitching from this Royals team in 2023. And we'll get to Brad Keller, because I got a lot of love to share with babyface Brad Keller tonight. Matt Cotrero used the word resolve. That's a better word than the one I was going to use. So we'll get to Brad Keller. We'll talk about the bullpen as Jose Kwas, Amir Garrett, Josh Staumont, Taylor Clark combined to throw 4 innings of 3-hit relief. That no doubt the pitching did its job tonight. Keller performed even better than I had hoped. I said on the On Deck show, give me 4 innings of 1-run baseball. Give me 5 innings of 2-run baseball. Keller exceeded those expectations, spinning 5 innings of 1-run baseball. 5 innings, 1 run on 3 hits. Brad Keller picks up his team-leading 3rd win of the season. So how long or how far can this offense carry him, lead him? 913-586-7610. Let's start off out in Chanute. JD, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, this dish jockey, after listening to that game, and then I'm looking at my transistor radio, it's all aglow and it's dancing around. I'm very optimistic. I feel they'll do far better than 75 games this year. Oh, you heard my rooster, too.
What? Did someone slip something in my drink? Am I tripping? What was... Let's go to Connor in Kansas City. Connor, hello.
Yeah, Vern, I just want to talk about Nick Prado. You know, obviously, Vinny, Bobby, and MJ are the 3 young guys we talk about all the time, but about 60 plate appearances this year. His OPS is right around 1,000, and I think people forget that he raked in the minors in 21, so... do you see him maybe joining the MJ, Vinny, Bobby crew and maybe the core 4 someday?
Certainly. Certainly. No doubt. And that's what this season, thanks for the phone call, that's what this season is and has been about. It's about evaluating these guys and seeing who else can join that core 4. I mentioned earlier today, to me, the only declarative statement that I'm willing to make 38 games into the season, this evaluation season, the only thing I'm willing to say declaratively is Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino are the truth. Now, Vinny is undeniable. I'm not saying that Vinny's going to have a 900 OPS for the next 7-8 years, but Vinny is a hitting machine. He was a hitting machine last year in his rookie campaign. And 38 games into the season, he remains a hitting machine. And we're deep enough into the season where there's been at least one adjustment from the opposition, from opposing pitchers, from the other teams. They're adjusting to Vinny. He's just matching them in this chess game. Vinny with a team-leading OPS of 922. To your point about Nick Prado, yeah, 47 at-bats so far this season, an OPS of 987. Prado goes 2 for 4 tonight, drives in 3, hits his 2nd home run of the season. The dream was, and I'll never forget, I was on with Carrington Harrison during spring training. And I think it's fair to say that expectations were tempered throughout Kansas City, and understandably so, right? Even with this 9-1 win, you're still 16 games below 500. I'm not happy, but I'm quick to acknowledge that. We're not going to throw a parade. But the dream was, as expectations were tempered, I've always believed if you're a team worth a darn, in spring training, it shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't have to go through multiple mental gymnastics to try and envision your team making a postseason run. And to me, the way that it happens in Kansas City is this season was getting started and, you know, people would scoff and go, there's no chance this team makes a run. There's no chance. The avenue, in my opinion, the avenue to this team competing in September and October was, yeah, certainly, Bobby, Vinny, MJ, Salvi had to be above average. Had to be stars. A couple of them had to be superstars. And then you get Drew Waters, Michael Massey, Michael Garcia, Nick Prado, and suddenly this lineup, instead of just being top-heavy, it's 7-8 deep with guys that can beat you. And right now, I mean, you got to be happy with the offense. You got to be happy with where this lineup is 38 games into this evaluation season. You don't need to be happy with how the season's gone or where the pitching staff ranks or the record. No, you shouldn't be happy with that. But are you happy that Bobby and Vinny are on the team? Salvi and MJ? Prado and Massey? Garcia and Edward Olivares? Happy that Drew Waters could hopefully return in the next few weeks? And that's nine names right there. That's a starting nine. That's a starting nine that would get me excited to come out to the ballpark, to tune in to 610 Sports Radio, to watch them on television. So again, how far can this offense lead them? Of course, with the caveat of adequate pitching. Not great pitching, but just not the worst pitching. Not a bottom third of Major League Baseball pitching. If you can get middle of the road pitching, yeah, then the similarities between this team and 2012 start to really align. Right, that 2012 team with Moose and Haas and Gordo and Salvi and Eske and Kane, and you know the names. I remember that season. We you know, you went 72-90. Certainly nothing to write home about. But you looked up and down that lineup and you went, man, that guy's a winner. I want him here long term. That guy does something every night to help us win. That guy's got a nice bat. That guy's got a nice glove. That guy's got speed. I want to keep all these guys. How come we're not winning? And the answer was obvious, because he couldn't pitch. Had a nice back end of the bullpen, but you weren't getting enough length from your rotation. So what did the then front office do? Kept Jeremy Guthrie, brought in Irvin Santana, traded for Wade Davis and James Shields, and suddenly you're getting 1,000 innings out of your rotation. You got some studs at the back end of your bullpen. And before the tide swings in that clubhouse, before Moose and Haas, before Kane and Salvi accepted that, well, we're the Royals and we're going to be perennial losers, they surrounded them with pitching talent, and we all know what happened after that. The rest is history. So my hope is, and my hope was coming into the season, that this collection of bats would show us the same thing over the course of these 6 months. That they all have something long-term that's going to help this organization. Defensively, base paths, offensively, power, leadership. The hope is that over the course of this season, this collection of bats shows you, shows me, shows this front office, shows ownership, we're winners. Give us some pitching and let us succeed. If that happens, to go back to my campfire analogy that I've been making since spring training, if that happens, if these embers of Bobby and Salvi, of Vinny and MJ continue to get stoked, continue to get sparked by Massey, by Prado, by Garcia, if we start to see this campfire turn into a small blaze, don't be surprised if this offseason the front office and ownership pour some gasoline on that bad boy and get this thing firing on all cylinders. Turn this into a true blazing campfire. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals take game three of this four-game series by a final score of 9-1. Let's go back to the phone calls. And Mike in Kansas City, you're on the post-game show. Go ahead.
586-7610. Yeah, when are you done evaluating Nate Eaton?
Me?
Everybody. Why do they keep putting that man in the lineup?
Mike, I'm going to need you to turn your radio down if you want to have a conversation, but if that's it, we can let you go. All right, that's it. Why do they keep putting Nate Eaton in the lineup? I mean, it's him or Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, yeah, it's not a perfect team, really. That's the takeaway? That's the takeaway. 14 hits, 9 runs, Massey with a 3-hit night, Nick Prado drives in 3, Vinny has 3 hits, Salvi has a pair of doubles, Melendez scores a pair of runs, Olivares hits a home run, Matt Duffy's making defensive gems all over the diamond, and Nate Eaton even drew a 9-pitch walk, and yet we're upset that he's in the lineup. Okay, yeah, if you're clamoring to see...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackie Bradley Jr. in there for a fifth straight day. More power to you. Yeah. You know what? I don't have an answer for you. Other than Drew Waters isn't here yet, Kyle Isbell's on the shelf, Nate Eaton's on the 40-man roster. Let's go to Justin in Topeka. Justin, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead. I think we lost Justin. That's all right. Let's try Marshall in Spring Hill. Marshall, you're on the post-game show as the Royals take care of the White Sox by a final count of 9-1. Go ahead.
Vern, to answer your question about where I think this team can take us with this offensive lineup, people forget how bad the AL Central is. I think we could genuinely finish second, third place in the division and have a little building block in the next year. My big question for you, we've obviously got two absolute studs right now at first base. If things don't turn and we're at the trade deadline looking to be sellers, can you justify keeping both those guys on the roster, or can you get a big turnout for maybe some pitchers for a Prado and let Vinny play full-time over there? I'll listen off the air. Thanks.
Good phone call. Appreciate it. Taking a look at the American League Central. Royals still dead last. Nine and a half games back of the Twins. Twins lead the American League Central. They would be in dead last if they were in the American League East. Isn't that something? The Tigers are in second place, and they're two games below 500. You know, you first hear them say, oh, the Rose could finish in second place, and you want to scoff, you want to dismiss it, you want to laugh at them, you want to call them a homer, and then you look at the division and you go, I mean, just look at the run differentials in this division. Twins lead the way, of course, plus 22, but they're the only team with a plus run differential. Yeah. Tigers are minus 34. Guardians are minus 25. White Sox are minus 67. And your boys in blue, after tonight's 8-run victory, are still minus 53 run differential. Now, as far as the two first basemen, yeah, I think you bring up a very interesting question. Now, what I've been saying is Vinny, to me, would be the guy that you would move. Vinny, to me, would be the guy that you move because a little bit older than Prado. A little less versatile than Prado. Also, I think Vinny's stock is as high as it's ever going to be. He's top 25 right now in Major League Baseball with an impressive OPS of 922. Now, can he maintain this for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons? Yeah, I certainly hope so. Watching the guy work, he puts the work in offensively and defensively. There's no reason for me to believe that there's any elongated, disappointing stretch forthcoming for Vinny Pasquantino. So that's the guy that I would point to. I hate saying it because he might be my favorite player to come through these parts since, you know, total package-wise, probably since Hosmer and Kane left. So it would break my heart to see Vinny go. But when you have a hitting machine like this, a guy that's not going to hit free agency until he's about to turn 31... I mean, I'd sign him to an extension, and that still wouldn't preclude you from moving him. That just gives you cost certainty, gives other teams cost certainty. Now, must they trade Prado or Vinny? No, I can't say that at the deadline. The only thing they must do at the deadline, and they will, is trade Aroldis Chapman. Maybe Brad Keller can save some trade value. Maybe you move him at the deadline as well. Those are the only guys that you must move. Now, Salvi, Vinny, Brady, we've talked about all three of them. Now, if the right deal comes along, sure, pull the trigger. But I think those seismic moves are more than likely to happen in the offseason rather than prior to the trade deadline. So, yeah, listen, I think that conversation is going to be ever-present this season and throughout the offseason. Which is new for us in Kansas City. It's painful for us in Kansas City to imagine having a homegrown talent that you got so late in the draft like Vinny, or a homegrown talent that you got in the first round like Nick Prado, to even consider trading him is foreign to a lot of us. Foreign to me. Right? I was never in favor of trading Kane or Haas or Moose after that 2015 championship. But as time has gone on, as the losses have mounted, as the economics of baseball continue to loom like a dark cloud over the stadium and over the sport of baseball, I've evolved. I've acknowledged the way that Tampa wins, the way that Cleveland wins. It's not by hanging on to all of your guys and just letting them walk in free agency. No, it's about being proactive, being transactional. So I think it's a fair discussion to have, a smart conversation to have. But personally, sadly, I still lean towards Vinny Pasquantino right now. Because if you're another team, Vinny's track record I'd be more willing to part with big-name prospects for Vinny, because what we're watching this year is the same thing we saw last year. Now, what we're watching over the past few weeks from Nick Prado is unlike what he did earlier this year, unlike what he did for large stretches of last year. Case can be made, if you're an opposing team, that what Prado's doing is the anomaly. You can't make that case with Vinny Pasquantino, because he's been as consistent as anyone in the game. I mean, Dave Holtzman of Bally Sports Kansas City had the statistic earlier today on the television side. Coming into today, Vinny Pasquantino had an OPS that was better than everyone in baseball dating back to September of last year. September 15th of 2022. Since that date, nobody has a better OPS than Vinny. Nobody. Not Mike Trout, not Ronald Acuna Jr., not Julio Rodriguez, not any of your favorite players. Nobody. Vinny's got the best mark in baseball. I would think teams would part with a young, unproven, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old unproven A-ball, double-A guy. Multiple unproven high upside guys. I would think an organization on the cusp of a postseason berth would part with prospects to bring in a hitting machine like Vinny, whether that's this year at the deadline or this upcoming offseason. Oh, we'll be talking about that a lot, no doubt. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Cole, who's out in Manhattan. Cole, you're on 610 Sports Radio after the 9-1 Royals victory. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. You know, I've just been trying to think about comparisons. You keep talking about Vinny Pasquantino or Nick Prado. I think what people fail to realize about being transactional, which what the Royals seem to talk about 24/7, like, you have to give up good players.
Yeah. Right.
And pitching is the currency of baseball, and watching the game tonight and really the whole month, it just makes you think, like, if there's just some kind of decent starting pitching, that the team will really surprise some people. When I go back and I look at, like, a guy like Anthony Rizzo, when you talk about Vinny, the San Diego Padres traded Anthony Rizzo 50 games into his career, and he wasn't exactly very hot, and they got nothing for him. I just worry that if you do have to move on one of your better players, I don't know if I necessarily trust this organization to find that that piece, especially you go back even to Dayton Moore and the trade with the Washington Nationals that was originally supposed to happen for Will Myers and you know, Danny Espinosa and whoever the heck else was in that trade. I don't know. It's just a lot of things that they have to juggle, and happy I'm not in that position, but they have to make a move, because I really do feel like with the offense, they're not that far away.
Yeah. Cole, great call, great perspective. And yeah, I'm glad you have that type of self-awareness, because I'm with you. And it's decisions like this where I go, man, I would love that paycheck. I would love that business card. But you know what, J.J. Piccolo? You can have it. You know, enjoy that salary. Enjoy that prestige. Because, man, the flack, if and when you're wrong, it's never ending. And as we've witnessed here in Kansas City, the praise, even if you reach the mountaintop, the praise has an expiration date. They always remember the mistakes. The successes can be forgotten quickly. But I get that nervousness. No doubt, man. It is not a position that I envy at all, because it's a bottom line business. It's either the trade worked or it didn't. And just like that move we saw earlier this week, for, you know, you send a 19-year-old outfielder to Philadelphia for a 26-year-old pitcher. And I see on social media, I see on our text line, everyone's got an opinion, a hot take of, oh, it's a great move by JJ. Oh, it's a terrible move by the Royals organization. It really just comes back to how you feel about this front office, how you feel about that Royals emblem, how you feel about that logo, how you feel about that organization. If you have a negative connotation with them, well, then everything that they do is bad. And vice versa. In that role as general manager, there's not much nuance. I mean, there is, but on a show like this, conversations around the coffee pot, around the water cooler. Not much nuance. It's either a good trade or a stupid trade. And when you're in charge of a small market team like this, when you're trying to emulate what they've done in Tampa, what they've done in Cleveland, it sounds so ridiculous to say, but it's the truth. You can't miss. You got to hit on 75, 80% of these trades, which is so difficult to do. But that's the job. That's why you earn what you earn. That's why it says that title on your business card, on your door, on your desk. Yeah. When you trade Aroldis Chapman, you got to win that deal. Now, I don't know when it is, what's the right time, who's the right team, what's the prospect, but that's not my job. My job is to critique or praise. My job is to use the benefit of hindsight to judge the job that you're doing. It's tough. And then you talk about trading a Will Myers, a Vinny Pasquantino. Boy, you better be right. I remember being on the air when they traded Will Myers. First thing out of my mouth was, if you don't go to the playoffs with James Shields, this trade was a failure. Right away, hot take, Vern, there you go. Immediately, trade comes down. If you don't make the playoffs, the trade is a failure. Now, they ended up going to the World Series, winning it the year after with Wade Davis closing it out. Trade was a success. And yet, the guy that pulled the trigger on that trade is still fired. Royals win 9-1. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Robert Jr. back onto the track at the fence, and it's gone! Michael Massey's first home run of the season. It comes against his hometown team, and the Royals extend their lead. It's 5-1 in the bottom of the fourth inning.
They'd go on to win 9-1. Jake Eisenberg on the call, last heard here on your home for Royals baseball for more than 15 years now. 610 Sports Radio, and for those of you in the 610 Sports Radio listening area, you might not be aware, but you can listen to Royals games on your phone, tablet, or smart speaker now just by utilizing the Odyssey app. Royals win 9-1, the record 11-27. They look to win the series tomorrow. Brady Singer on the hill squaring off with that goofball Mike Clevinger. Not a fan. 1:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. We got to give some love to Brad Keller. 5 innings of one-run baseball. And you know, that's not the reason why I want to give Brad love. Brad came into tonight with more walks than strikeouts. He still has more walks than strikeouts. I mean, his numbers are not very good. And yet he's, I believe, has the best ERA on the team, has the most wins on the team. You go by adjusted ERA, he's the best starter on the team. But Brad's been in a bad place. And walking way too many, has given his team 6 innings just once this season. You know, the A's just beat him up. You know, his fastball was non-existent against Oakland. And looked early on today as if he didn't have that sinker again. Which, like the A's did, meant Chicago could just sit on that curveball, sit on breaking stuff, go to the opposite field, and maybe have a day against Brad. I'll be honest with you. Top of the first inning, he walks Tim Anderson to start the game and then walks Andrew Benintendi. Anyone that's listened to this show for an extended period of time, you know my affinity for Brad Keller, my appreciation for Brad Keller, not for anything outside of his professionalism, his toughness, his demeanor while being on a perennial loser. He takes the ball every fifth day, doesn't complain, doesn't make excuses, doesn't point fingers, takes the ball, tries his hardest. Sometimes it's good enough. Lately, it hasn't been. But he's always there to answer questions, always there with a good attitude, a great teammate. And keep in mind, this is a guy that made his big league debut on opening day of 2018 for the Royals. Meaning, all he's known is Royals baseball beginning in 2018. Would you wish that on anyone? And he has this demeanor, this attitude, this professionalism. So I'm a big fan of Brad Keller. But when he started off the game with back-to-back walks, I turned my back on the game because I was so uncomfortable. Because I didn't want to see what I've seen too often this season. And that is a young man just unraveling out there on the mound. Not physically, but the same issues that have plagued him over the past few seasons. A few things out of his control don't go his way, or he doesn't have the best command early on. Things tend to snowball and the game gets away from him. Now, we've seen in the past he'll lock it in and still eat up some frames and save the bullpen and be a pro. But when he walked the first two batters that he faced in the first, when the first three batters that he faces reach in the second inning, I'm looking at the bullpen going, I mean, how much longer can Q do this? I mean, this kid's, he's not a kid. This grown man is fighting for his life out there, and he doesn't have it again. I don't know if you can start him again. These are the thoughts I'm having during the game. But Keller didn't allow those negative thoughts to dominate his mind tonight. Like he did in 2021. Like he did at times last season. Like he has at times this season. Matt Cotrero used the word resolve, and I think that is very apropos tonight. Walk to start the first inning, and he gets out of it unscathed. Three straight batters reach to start the second inning, and only one run scores. And then he finds the fastball, sets him down in order in the third, works around a two-out walk in the fourth, and this may have been my favorite moment of the night. After a leadoff single in the fifth, Brad Keller, on a 3-1 pitch to Tim Anderson, we all know the history between those two, a 3-1 pitch to Tim Anderson is grounded right back to Brad Keller. Fields turns to second base and throws a strike to Michael Massey, who then goes to first for a 1-4-3 double play. A few pitches later, Keller strikes out Andrew Benintendi with a slider, ending his day, five innings of one-run baseball. That double play was my highlight of the night because if you remember Keller's start back on Friday against the A's, in the very first inning, he gets a comebacker. He tries to pick a runner off of second base and airmails it out to center field, allowing the first run to come around to score. So not only was he walking batters, but he wasn't helping his own, wasn't helping himself out whatsoever with an errant throw, giving up a free 90 feet to multiple base runners. So to see the resolve to work around walks, to work around base runners, but also to confidently step into that throw to second base, just a wonderful example of perseverance, of resolve, of being a professional tonight from Brad Keller. Very happy for him. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We'll get to your text messages coming up in just a moment, but first, let's head inside the Royals clubhouse and hear from the birthday. I'm not going to call this guy a birthday boy, the birthday man, the birthday Hall of Famer. Salvador Perez, happy 33rd, Salvi. He goes 2-for-4 tonight, an RBI double in the first, a double in the sixth, and then he hands it off to Freddie Fermin, who picks up a base hit later on in the game. Salvi, 2-for-4, raising his OPS this season to .849. Batting average of .289. Salvi's 33 and does not show any signs of slowing down. He's one of the five best catchers on the planet right now at the age of 33. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to the assembled media inside the clubhouse in Bally Sports, Kansas City.
A little, you know, slow, but I think it's part of the game. And I always say this, the good thing is we like to play hard to the last out, and we like to compete. Some day good team, some day bad team, but we're going to give everything we have every day.
Have you noticed anything different just with the approach or process with the offense?
Like, maybe a little bit more aggressive, try and not try to chase too many pitches. So I think we do that a little better.
Do you get a little extra juice on your birthday?
Should we hit homer today?
I don't know, you were running the bases pretty
fast, huh? I still had it. I know I'm 33, but I still had it.
There you go.
What did you see out of Brad tonight just from behind the plate as he was working?
It was pretty good. The secondary pitch was working a lot. A slider, curve, changer. He was good tonight. You guys saw that. So it's good for the team and good for my birthday.
A lot of times when he makes walks and stuff, it kind of piles up on him and he can't really kind of fight through it. Did you see something different tonight, or is it any sort of calmness or something when the guys were in on base?
Jackie, really, Brad, you want to say something? I think after the first walk today, I called him out, going to the mound and just talk to him. Just, hey, try to don't see the hitter, just try to focus on my chest. Just throw it to me. Do the same thing you do in the bullpen. So after that, he was a little better.
What's it like hitting after Vinny, seemingly always on base?
That's pretty good, but he needed work in his speed, so I can get more RBI. Sorry, Benny, I say that. That's Burr? Yeah, I agree with you on it.
And then I wondered what you thought of Prado, what he's been able to do since coming back from Omaha.
Pretty good. He was doing a pretty good job. He worked a lot. He worked a lot before the game, every day. So, and we expect him to do that. So I think he's in good pace right now. He's good.
There you go. Salvador Perez telling Vinny Pasquantino to pick it up a little bit. Get on your horse. I'd like to drive you in. And Vinny, he's undeniable. I don't know what else to say about him. I understand he's not a full year into his big league career, not a full calendar year yet. But what are you nervous about when it comes to Vinny? What are you curious? I mean, they're adjusting to him. I remember talking to him in spring training. That's what he was excited about. I can't wait for them to make the first adjustment so I can adjust back. Well, Vinny's next level with this, guys. He's a hitting machine, and he apparently only hits rockets. And I guess when he doesn't hit a rocket, it's a perfectly placed opposite field bloop. And he's fun to watch. He is. He's fun to watch on the field. He's fun to watch off the field. He's on MLB Network. He's on Cody and Gold. He's doing Chris Rose's podcast, and they all want him back. How can you get enough Vinny Pasquantino? I'm telling you, if he sticks around here, he could have this entire city in the palm of his hands. Now, you got to win, of course. But he could own this city if he wanted to. Royals win 9-1. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's also our text line number. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 9-1 Royals victory are presented, as always, by Jay's Southland Tow Service. We had a big discussion yesterday about, why isn't Michael Massey playing every single day? Why isn't Nick Prado playing every single day? Which is a fair question. I understand a lot of people curious. And the answer is, you know, they're human beings. And you're going to get the best out of them when they take an occasional day off. Especially when they're coming up from the minor leagues where you're getting one day off a week. And that's a set day off. You know you're only playing 6 days a week. You're playing in the same city. You're not traveling like you are in the big leagues. You know, furthermore, Massey playing in the middle of the infield, Prado bouncing around from first to the corner outfield. These guys need to get off their feet and remain rested, remain fresh. And what do you know, following a day off, Nick Prado goes 2 for 3, scores a pair of runs and drives in 3, hits his second home run. After a day off, Michael Massey goes 3 for 4 with a run scored and a pair of RBI. He too goes bridge, his first home run of the season. Mikel Garcia gets the night off tonight. Hopefully we see him in there tomorrow, and he'll probably be my pick to click tomorrow. As he gets the night off, he'll be rested and ready to go for tomorrow's afternoon finale. It's Brady Singer and Mike Clevenger. It's a 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air at 12 noon with the On Deck Show, giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout come to town on Father's Day. So make sure you're listening tomorrow at 12 noon right here on 610 Sports Radio. We get to your text messages after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
1-0 the count on Prado in the pitch, and he swings and hits it well. Right field, that is way back, and that ball is gone. It's a home run, a two-run homer for Nick Prado. And the Royals add to their lead. It's 7-1. Prado with his second homer on the year.
7-1 after that two-run blast in the fifth. Royals go on to win 9-1, earning at worst a split of this four-game series against the White Sox. Nick Prado, one of his two hits on the night. Prado, one of four Royals with a multi-hit effort. Prado is now hitting .400 since being recalled at the end of April. He's 16 for 40, 5 extra base hits, and he's driven in a dozen runs. And the thing that's so encouraging is, yeah, great job, Prado, but I got to move on. I got to talk about Michael Massey, who's hitting .340 in his last 14 games. I got to talk about Vinny Pasquantino, who I undersold earlier. I said Vinny's top 25 right now in Major League Baseball with his .922 OPS. No, he's top 15 in baseball with that .922 OPS. Yeah, Brent Rooker still number one, but top 15 for Vinny Pasquantino. Now, Salvador Perez among catchers is him or Adley Rutschman right now in the American League as far as the best backstop. And okay, you can take the youth, but the fact that a 33-year-old is neck and neck with a former number one overall pick, a franchise-changing backstop like Rutschman. I mean, what it does is it speaks to Salvi's greatness, right? The same way that even when Yachty was on the wrong side of 30, he was still one of the game's best. Buster Posey, all of the great catchers of the last half century. Sure, they fall off eventually, but they're still productive players in their mid-30s, in their late 30s. You know, Edward Olivares getting back to his big swinging ways. MJ Melendez. Guys, this has now been a solid 2 weeks of hard line drives to all fields from MJ Melendez, not chasing as much. He has 5 trips to the dish tonight, only 1 strikeout. Has he had a multiple strikeout day? When was the last? Okay, Sunday. Sunday. But still, yeah, you're once in the past. Yeah, once in the past week, you get a multiple strikeout performance from MJ Melendez. That was a nightly occurrence throughout the month of April. So look, the offense continues to pace the way to be the bully on this team. Of course, you got to have adequate pitching to allow an offense to lead the way. You don't need great pitching. You need adequate pitching if your bats are going to lead you to success. And Lord knows you got adequate pitching tonight. Brad Keller's perseverance, his resolve was on full display, his professionalism. Now, Jose Quas not breaking a sweat, striking out three in his scoreless sixth. Amir Garrett not walking the first batter that he faces for the second straight appearance. That's positive. And he finished his inning. Stomach holding tight for him. Good to hear. Josh Staumont with a scoreless eighth. And Taylor Clark with a dominating ninth. Add it all up, and it's a 9-1 Royals victory. Special thanks to our sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas, for supporting us in each and every one of these games here at Kauffman Stadium, where the Royals are starting to win games. Won three of their last four here at the K. All right, let's go to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7610. Scott in Kansas City writes in, Vern, our bats can lead us back to 500 at least. And who knows, maybe even to October. Yes, I'm fired up, Vern. Well, to go back to the caller from earlier, you're in the right division. If you're going to do the unthinkable, you're in the right division. I mentioned earlier, the Yankees, who are in dead last in the American League East, would be in first place in this division. The fact that they're not in this division likely means they're not making the postseason. As I do not think a wild card is coming out of the American League Central. You either win this division or you prepare for 2024. Because the East, they're all monsters. And there's four good teams in the American League West. So you're certainly in the right division if you're going to do the unthinkable. From the 816, Vern, watching these last few games, it seems like the bats are embracing the keep the line moving mentality, and it's fun to see. Sure, yeah. But that kind of lends itself as if they were shunning that idea, and I don't think that was ever the case. I think they just wanted it too bad. Moose and Haas and Kane and Salvi, they all went through the same thing back in 2012 and 13 and even in 2014. It wasn't like they were against handing the baton off to the guy behind them. It was, hey, I'm struggling. We're struggling. I'm going to be the hero. Let me hit this 5-run home run. It comes from a good place. It comes from a place of selflessness, but it manifests itself in selfishness. Like, keep the line moving. All that really means is trust the guy behind you. You don't need to be the hero. Let him be the hero. Take your walk. Take your opposite field single. Just put a nice swing on the ball. Try to hit it back to the pitcher. What does George Brett always say? A home run is the product of a good swing. So if you're not trying to do too much, if you're just doing your job, put a good swing on the ball, and what do you know? Michael Massey has a 417-foot home run. Edward Olivares has a 416-foot home run. Nick Prado rips one down the right field line for his second big fly of the season. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. Caleb writes in, Vern, I'll tell you what, these Royals can swing the twig. This stretch at the plate has been real fun to watch and has given me hope for 2025. 2025, okay. Yeah, hey, I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's 913-586-7610. We'll get to your text messages coming up in just a moment. But first, let's head inside the Royals Clubhouse and hear from the birthday. I'm not going to call this guy a birthday boy. The birthday man. The birthday Hall of Famer. Salvador Perez. Happy 33rd, Salvi. He goes 2-for-4 tonight. An RBI double in the first. A double in the sixth. And then he hands it off to Freddie Fermin, who picks up a base hit later on in the game. Salvi, 2-for-4, raising his OPS this season to .849. Batting average of .289. Salvi's 33 and does not show any signs of slowing down. He's one of the five best catchers on the planet right now at the age of 33. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to the assembled media inside the clubhouse in Bally Sports, Kansas City.
A little, you know, slow. But I think it's part of the game. And I always say this, the good thing is we like to play hard to the last out. And we like to compete. Some day good team, some day bad team, but we're going to give everything we have every day.
Have you noticed anything different just with the approach or process with the offense?
Like, maybe a little bit more aggressive and not try to chase too many pitches. So I think we do that a little better.
Do you get a little extra juice on your birthday?
Should we hit homer today?
I don't know, you were running the bases pretty
fast, huh? I still had it. I know I'm 33, but I still had it.
There you go.
What did you see out of Brad tonight, just from behind the plate as he was working?
It was pretty good. The secondary pitch was working a lot. The slider, curve, changer. He was good tonight. You guys saw that. So it's good for the team and good for my birthday.
A lot of times when he makes walks and stuff, it kind of piles up on him and he can't really kind of fight through it. Did you see something different tonight, or is it any sort of calmness or something when the guys were getting on base?
Jackie, really, Brad, you want to say something? I think after the first walk today, I called him out, going to the mound and just talked to him. Just, hey, try to don't see the hitter, just try to focus on my chest. Just throw it to me. Do the same thing you do in the bullpen. So after that, he was a little better.
What's it like hitting after Vinny, seemingly always on base?
That's pretty good, but he needed to work at his speed so I can get more RBI. Sorry, Benny, I say that. That's Burr? Yeah, I agree with you on it.
And then I wondered what you thought of Prado, what he's been able to do since coming back from Omaha.
Pretty good. He was doing a pretty good job. He worked a lot. He worked a lot before the game, every day. So, and we expect him to do that. So I think he's in good pace right now. He's good.
There you go. Salvador Perez telling Vinny Pasquantino to pick it up a little bit. Get on your horse. I'd like to drive you in. And Vinny, he's undeniable. I don't know what else to say about him. I understand he's not a full year into his big league career, not a full calendar year yet. But what are you nervous about when it comes to Vinny? What are you curious? I mean, they're adjusting to him. I remember talking to him in spring training. That's what he was excited about. I can't wait for them to make the first adjustment so I can adjust back. Well, Vinny's next level with this, guys. He's a hitting machine, and he apparently only hits rockets. And I guess when he doesn't hit a rocket, it's a perfectly placed opposite field bloop. And he's fun to watch. He is. He's fun to watch on the field. He's fun to watch off the field. He's on MLB Network. He's on Cody and Gold. He's doing Chris Rose's podcast, and they all want him back. How can you get enough Vinny Pasquantino? I'm telling you, if he sticks around here, he could have this entire city in the palm of his hands. Now, you got to win, of course. But he could own this city if he wanted to. Royals win 9-1. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's also our text line number. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 9-1 Royals victory are presented, as always, by Jay's Southland Tow Service. We had a big discussion yesterday about, why isn't Michael Massey playing every single day? Why isn't Nick Prado playing every single day? Which is a fair question. I understand a lot of people curious. And the answer is, they're human beings. And you're going to get the best out of them when they take an occasional day off. Especially when they're coming up from the minor leagues where you're getting one day off a week and that's a set day off. You know you're only playing 6 days a week. You're playing in the same city. You're not traveling like you are in the big leagues. Furthermore, Massey playing in the middle of the infield, Prado bouncing around from first to the corner outfield. These guys need to get off their feet and remain rested, remain fresh. And what do you know, following a day off, Nick Prado goes 2-for-3, scores a pair of runs and drives in 3, hits his second home run. After a day off, Michael Massey goes 3-for-4 with a run scored and a pair of RBI. He too goes bridge, his first home run of the season. Mikel Garcia gets the night off tonight. Hopefully we see him in there tomorrow, and he'll probably be my pick to click tomorrow. As he gets the night off, he'll be rested and ready to go for tomorrow's afternoon finale. It's Brady Singer and Mike Clevenger. It's a 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air at 12 noon with the On Deck Show, giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout come to town on Father's Day. So make sure you're listening tomorrow at 12 noon right here on 610 Sports Radio. We get to your text messages after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Want to know the count on Prado in the pitch, and he swings and hits it well. Right field, that is way back, and that ball is gone. It's a home run, a two-run homer for Nick Prado. And the Royals add to their lead. It's 7-1. Prado with his second homer on the year.
7-1 after that two-run blast in the fifth. Royals go on to win 9-1, earning at worst a split of this four-game series against the White Sox. Nick Prado, one of his two hits on the night. Prado, one of four Royals with a multi-hit effort. Prado is now hitting 400 since being recalled at the end of April. He's 16-for-40, 5 extra base hits, and he's driven in a dozen runs. And the thing that's so encouraging is, great job, Prado, but I got to move on. I got to talk about Michael Massey, who's hitting 340 in his last 14 games. I got to talk about Vinny Pasquantino, who I undersold earlier. I said Vinny's top 25 right now in Major League Baseball with his 922 OPS. No, he's top 15 in baseball with that 922 OPS. Yeah, Brent Rooker still number one, but top 15 for Vinny Pasquantino. Now, Salvador Perez among catchers is I mean, really, it's him or Adley Rutschman right now in the American League as far as the best backstop. And, okay, you can take the youth. But the fact that a 33-year-old is neck and neck with a former number one overall pick, a franchise-changing backstop like Rutschman. I mean, what it does is it speaks to Salvi's greatness. Right? The same way that even when Yadi was on the wrong side of 30, he was still one of the game's best. Buster Posey, all of the great catchers of the last half century. Now, sure, they fall off eventually, but they're still productive players in their mid-30s, in their late 30s. You know, Edward Olivares getting back to his big swinging ways. MJ Melendez. Guys, this has now been a solid 2 weeks of hard line drives to all fields from MJ Melendez, not chasing as much. And he has five trips to the dish tonight, only one strikeout. Has he had a multiple strikeout day? When was the last? Okay, Sunday. Sunday. But still, yeah, you're once in the past. Yeah, once in the past week, you get a multiple strikeout performance from MJ Melendez. That was a nightly occurrence throughout the month of April. So look, the offense continues to pace the way to be the bully on this team. Of course, you got to have adequate pitching to allow an offense to lead the way. You don't need great pitching. You need adequate pitching if your bats are going to lead you to success. And Lord knows you got adequate pitching tonight. Brad Keller's perseverance, his resolve was on full display, his professionalism. Now, Jose Kwas not breaking a sweat, striking out three in his scoreless sixth. Amir Garrett not walking the first batter that he faces for the second straight appearance. That's positive. And he finished his inning. Stomach holding tight for him. Good to hear. Josh Staumont with a scoreless eighth. And Taylor Clark with a dominating ninth. Add it all up, and it's a 9-1 Royals victory. Special thanks to our sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas, for supporting us in each and every one of these games here at Kauffman Stadium, where the Royals are starting to win games. Won three of their last four here at the K. All right, let's go to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7610. Scott in Kansas City writes in, Vern, our bats can lead us back to 500 at least. And who knows, maybe even to October. Yes, I'm fired up, Vern. Well, to go back to the caller from earlier, you're in the right division. If you're going to do the unthinkable, you're in the right division. I mentioned earlier, the Yankees, who are in dead last in the American League East, would be in first place in this division. The fact that they're not in this division likely means they're not making the postseason. As I do not think a wild card is coming out of the American League Central. You either win this division or you prepare for 2024. Because the East, they're all monsters. And there's four good teams in the American League West. So you're certainly in the right division if you're going to do the unthinkable. From the 816, Vern, watching these last few games, it seems like the bats are embracing the keep the line moving mentality, and it's fun to see. Sure, yeah. But that kind of lends itself as if they were shunning that idea, and I don't think that was ever the case. I think they just wanted it too bad. Moose and Haas and Kane and Salvi, they all went through the same thing back in 2012 and 13 and even in 2014. It wasn't like they were against handing the baton off to the guy behind him. It was, Hey, I'm struggling. We're struggling. I'm going to be the hero. Let me hit this 5-run home run. It comes from a good place. It comes from a place of selflessness. But it manifests itself in selfishness. Right, keep the line moving. All that really means is trust the guy behind you. You don't need to be the hero. Let him be the hero. Take your walk. Take your opposite field single. Just put a nice swing on the ball. Try to hit it back to the pitcher. What does George Brett always say? A home run is the product of a good swing. So if you're not trying to do too much, if you're just doing your job, put a good swing on the ball, and what do you know? Michael Massey has a 417-foot home run. Edward Olivares has a 416-foot home run. Nick Prado rips one down the right field line for his second big fly of the season. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. Caleb writes in, Vern, I'll tell you what, these Royals can swing the twig. This stretch at the plate has been real fun to watch and has given me hope for 2025. 2025, okay. Yeah, hey, I understand that with the questions about the pitching staff moving forward. I've said that exact same thing right here. You know, it's my belief that the next time this team will compete for a postseason spot is 2025, but that's a belief. 38 games into a season that still has 124 games to go. So in no way am I bound to my April or May opinions. Now we can evolve, we can use the data and performances that we witness over the next few months to change. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with admitting that you're wrong. You better do it if you're going to follow this game. Because this game will make a fool of all of us. Back to the text line. Joey in Grain Valley believes that the bats could get us back to 500. Royals currently 16 games below 500, but again, 124 to go. I mean, honestly, I would take 72 and 90. Right? Like that 2012 ball club. I'd take that. Raj in the Ozarks writes in, Vern, in the old days, Vinny Pasquantino would be seeing the George Brett brushback pitches. He is on a tear, and I enjoy listening to his at-bats. Yeah, I would imagine that Denny and Stu and Jake enjoy calling his at-bats as well. Because you can see him sticking with his approach, and that's, you know, a big key to all of this, especially when we're talking about Michael Massey, Nick Prado, and MJ Melendez, guys that all had breakout 2021 campaigns in the minor leagues by doing what Alex Zumwalt, Drew Saylor, and the rest of this hitting staff preach, and that is taking selfish at-bats, meaning, you know, sometimes you're going to spit on a strike. Or maybe you could bloop it to the opposite field. But until you have two strikes on yourself, identify where you do damage and commit to it. Only swing when they come in your zone. I don't know if there's a better example of that on this team than Vinny Pasquantino. You're not going to get him to deviate from his approach until you get him down two strikes, and then it's for the team. And then you battle to get on base, to advance the runner, to work the pitch count. And there aren't many players in the big leagues as good with two strikes as Vinny Pasquantino. And again, the guy is still yet to play a full calendar year in the big leagues. It's impressive. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. From the 816, Vern, Nate Eaton had a bad luck game. Is it wrong for me to feel bad for him? He could have very easily had two hits tonight. No, it's not wrong for you to feel bad for him. That's you being a Royals fan, I think. I also think that's you understanding the difficulty of this game. As much as someone like you and I that I don't believe you ever played in the big leagues. I know I never did. But when you watch it enough, man, you have a real appreciation for the mental grind, let alone the physical grind of this game. And yeah, Nate Eaton, who's now 1-4-35 on the season, did draw a 9-pitch walk in the first inning, which I celebrated up here in the press box. And like you, I felt awful for the young man, because he hit an absolute rope to center field, and unfortunately, Luis Robert felt like playing in that half inning and tracked it down and robbed him of an extra base hit. And then in the sixth inning, he hits another hard hit screamer up the middle that Elvis Andrus makes a very nice play on at second base for the White Sox. So yeah, you're 100% right. Way to stay locked into the game. Yeah, Nate Eaton had three good plate appearances and doesn't have much outside of a walk to show for it. No, nothing wrong with feeling bad for him. I do too. Great kid, great energy. You want to talk about, you know, perseverance and resolve. What that kid's been through. What that man's been through. He's easy to root for. Easy to root for. Rally Mantis is all fired up to watch Brady Singer tomorrow. Yeah, I'm with you. Guys, I understand that ERA is atrocious. But when I show up to the ballpark tomorrow morning, I'm going to be brooding. The chest is going to be sticking out because I'm confident in Brady Singer tomorrow. I am. Maybe that's a poor reflection of me. But I just know what's inside that kid. I know his heart. I know his brain. I know his stuff. I know his competitiveness. I think he's better than what his numbers would indicate. I can't wait to watch him. It's Brady Singer tomorrow squaring off with a fellow right-hander, Mike Clevinger. Not too many people I enjoy watching lose more than Mike Clevinger. Actually, a lot of those former Guardians pitchers. Zach Plesac, love watching him lose. Trevor Bauer, love watching him lose. Mike Clevinger, love watching him lose. Hope I get a chance to watch him lose tomorrow. Hope I get a chance to watch the Royals tear him a new you-know-what like they did to Lance Lynn. All right, yeah. Good thing you're playing that music. I was going to say something silly. Brady Singer, Mike Clevinger, tomorrow, 1:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon with your chance to win Royals tickets, Father's Day Royals tickets. Thanks to Chris Unocero and Luke Bell for their help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow afternoon at 12 noon, live from Craft and Draft. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.